Young men, I say to thee, arise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In addition to being the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, there's also the Feast of St. Giles, one of the 14 Holy Helpers. And Giles was born in the country of Greece, as we know it today anyways, and after the death of his parents, he found it important from that point forward to not be tied down by anything in the world any longer. He left behind all that he knew, including his homeland, and he set off to serve God alone as his sole focus in life. He moved from Greece to what we now would consider to be France, and there he found himself out in the uninhabited area of the forest, there to find complete solitude and silence, and to spend his time in prayer and meditation and work to serve God. This whole time as a hermit was filled with great joy of soul for St. Giles. And he would offer with his prayers a multitude of penances, including the way in which he simply subsisted in life, one of a constant fasting and offering in the way of this self-denial. He only ate herbs and roots that grew around him, and the only drink he had was the water which flowed down the stream by which he lived. The sole exception to this was provided by God himself, a miracle, a visitor, and his only little friend. God sent to him each and every day a deer, and this deer, coming up to his little hut, would allow Giles to procure some milk from it, and this would provide him extra nutrients in which he should sustain himself. After a number of years of this peaceful life of prayer and service of God, his quiet found itself interrupted. A king was out for a hunt, and as he made his way through the forest, the king happened upon the deer, which was Giles's friend. Seeing the deer, they began to pursue it and chase it through the forest. The deer fled as quickly as it could, but when seeing that it was not going to escape, it went to the one place that it knew it could find refuge. It went to St. Giles's hut. And arriving there, the deer stopped. The king drew down upon it, and when he went to release the arrow, Giles emerged from his hut and stuck out his arm. The arrow pierced his hand instead of the deer. He saved his life. The king was mortified at the surprise, and he begged the forgiveness of the saints there in the woods. Giles was very quick to forgive it and forgive him, and told him it was no big thing, as it was a mere accident, but that this deer was indeed special to him, and he couldn't let the man hunt it. The king talked to St. Giles for a while and found himself astounded by all that he expressed. It was strange to find anybody all the way out there in the woods as he was, and so as he spoke to him, he learned about the life that he lived and the penances that he offered, and realized that he had a saintly man before him. He promised St. Giles that he would make up to him for intruding and for wounding him, and that he would provide for him by any means necessary. Giles told him that he had all that he needed. The king asked him if he would come into the town and begin a public ministry. Giles refused. He didn't want to do any kind of public actions. He desired to stay in the woods and to serve God as his sole focus. And then the king finally, in turn, looked to St. Giles and told him that, well, it is important at least that you let me build you a monastery so others may come and join you in serving God this way. To this, St. Giles conceded, and as word of the holy man in the woods spread, and miracles were wrought when people came to him for intercession, more and more young men came and joined him in a life of prayer and penance there in the woods of France. This continued until a certain point, one of the Frankish kings, Charles Martel, having heard of this man, Giles, of the woods of France, called him because he found himself greatly troubled in his life. He felt this weight, this burden upon him. He had a deep sadness to him. His heart was never at rest. He was disturbed. And so he couldn't figure out what it was that was wrong with him. And he thought, perhaps this miracle worker, this prayerful and holy man, he may be able to figure out what it is. Giles came to the king. He sat down and he did what is always necessary to understand a problem. He listened. He let the king talk. He let him go through all that he was experiencing. Let him listen to everything that was bothering him. And all the while, God didn't simply use the words of the king, but rather gave St. Giles a special gift in that moment. He allowed Giles to see the innermost parts of his soul. And so when the king had finished talking about how he felt and what was difficult for him, Giles revealed to him the root cause of his problem. He said that he was disturbed because he had held on to a sieve. And this long concealed offense against God, that this is what truly burdened and troubled him. And that the only way in which he would ever find relief would be to go and to make a good confession. Charles Martel listened to St. Giles and recognized that what the man said to him was true, and that truly this was a man of God who could know what only was known to Charles himself. And so he went and he confessed, and immediately rediscovered that burden indeed was lifted. His heart was finally at peace. We see in today's gospel our Lord going to the city of Nain and coming upon a funeral. Arriving there, he looks and sees a grieving mother, a woman weeping over her only son, who is now gone. A woman who has great fear for what the future shall hold, because she has no one to support her any longer. And moved with great pity, he comes and he works a fantastic miracle, raises the boy back to life, merely at a word. But if we think that the only purpose for Christ raising this boy from the dead was because he had pity on a poor woman who found herself in hardship, then really we miss the ultimate purpose of the story. Did our Lord work miracles for the benefit of people whom he had compassion upon? Of course he did. However, these things were not meant merely for the here and now. They were not merely for some sort of temporal gain or good to be procured. No, there's always for a higher end. Because, as our Lord said, his kingdom is not of this world. And so everything had the purpose of looking to the hereafter, to heaven. The raising of the child in Nain was to serve this purpose as well. It succeeded in doing multiple things. Of course, it wasn't merely the mother that was there to witness it, but everyone who was at the funeral, a large crowd of people. These people They are Jews. They have been in expectation, as generations of them before have been, to wait and to look for the Messiah that is promised to them, to search after the signs and wonders that will point them in the God towards the God-men. And so as they pray and they waited, like in so many other instances of the life of our Lord, he comes and he performs a miracle to show them who he is. He does what God alone has the power to do, to have the power over life and death itself. He raises the boy from the dead, not by invoking the Father, not by turning towards heaven, but merely at his own word, telling him to arise. And so, our Lord proves his divinity to those who watch on. Our Lord also goes to show an indication of what is to come, a matter in which a core aspect of our belief is held. And that is to point to the inevitable resurrection of the body on the last day. To show that in this instance where soul has been separated from body in this young man, it is rejoined to him. It is an indicator as well that for us, at the end of our lives, our souls shall be separated, just like that boy. But on the last day, they will be joined back up again. And then those bodies, they will share with our souls the reward that is destined to us for eternity. And then the third purpose is to indicate something more important than the restoration of a physical life on earth, but rather to show that a man who's fallen into sin, who's dead in the eyes of God, that this man will find healing and a restoration of life, a return of sanctifying grace by the power of Almighty God, by the word of the one whom he has offended. And that those who fall into sin, despite having been given sanctifying grace by the sacrament of baptism, will find that it will be restored unto them, despite their falling, so long as they ask for that to be returned, and promise efforts of amendment moving forward. And we see that in connection as well with the life of St. Giles and his interaction with Charles Martel. Charles didn't just find himself to be in a state of sin, a state in which it creates a void which is never satisfied to be filled. When we look around the world amongst us, we can see it so clearly. Those who have fallen away, turned away from God. The void that exists in their souls, where God is meant to be. They strive to fill it with things of the world. Distractions and entertainment and simple pleasures. And it's never satisfied. Because nothing can fill that void except the infinite God himself. No, only throwing these things in there makes the appetite more voracious towards that end. And the further away man goes from God, the more he seeks his creatures to fill its space. But in addition to this absence is the burden, the weight upon the shoulders, which is created by us knowing the ultimate truth in our hearts. No matter how much we try to deceive ourselves, we can't help but realize the truth, that in reality, I only have myself to point a finger of blame at. for my current situation. It is I who have committed the sin. It is I who have offended God. It is I who have cast away the most precious of gifts, that of sanctifying grace. So it weighs down like a burden, which we stumble to carry. But all of this can be taken away by that good confession, that restoration, sanctifying grace, eternal light, God Himself dwelling back in our souls. St. Giles is one of the 14 holy helpers, and one of his patronages is to ensure to be able to be made a good and holy confession. For ourselves, we find ourselves unfortunate to have fallen. We think to ourselves that our sins are so great that we fear to come and to confess them. We worry to unburden ourselves, that effect has snowballed and caused us to find ourselves burdened and weighed down more and more. We'll turn to this heavenly patron, this holy helper, to assist in lifting off that burden and pointing you towards that source of eternal life again. And if you know, as all of us I'm sure do, people who have fallen away in life, who have turned away from God, who have given up on grace, who seem to be lost, St. Giles is your intercessor, one to call upon in order to send graces, to intercede on their behalf, to call them back to wellspring of grace. Restoration of life. When we need the things of heaven, it is to heaven to which we turn for the aid. And God has given us great saints to assist, encourage, and inspire us back. And He Himself stands ready and desires to forgive, so long as we come back and ask for that restoration of ourselves. May God bless you, Lord, Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.